Greetings and welcome to Let's Talk About Books, baby, where we talk with your favorite LGBTQ plus author. I'm Anita Kelly, and my guest today is F.T. Lukens. Hello, F.T.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for being on. I am really excited to talk with you. I have not been familiar with your work and was reading some reviews and really, I'm stoked. You have quite a following.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I have a following.
Oh,
I would say I have people who enjoy my work.
That's a following. So let's talk about, you have a new release called Otherworldly. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
All right. So let's talk about Otherworldly. When does it come out? What's it about? What do we need to know?
So Otherworldly comes out April 2nd. It is a paranormal romance. And it's it's a contemporary fantasy, another kind of cozy fantasy for me. And it is about a character named Ellery, whose family is stuck in a 5-year winter. And they are certain, there's a scientific explanation for it. They are a skeptic. They don't believe in anything supernatural. And they run into a character named Knox, who happens to be a supernatural being.
Wow.
So together they make a crossroads bargain and stuff happens from there.
Wow, that sounds exciting. So they're in a 5-year winter. In my estimation, that would really suck. How did Ellery feel about that?
So Ellery grew up in a rural area on a farm, and once the seasons started to not change, had to make the decision at 17 that they had to leave the farm and go find a job in the city to help their family. So they have made this tough decision to move to the city with their cousin Charlie and her girlfriend Zeta. And they work in a diner to make money to send home. And they have tough conversations with their family when their family continues to believe in the chthonic goddess that the region believes in. And Ellery does not believe in them anymore because the seasons never changed. Ellery is not pleased with this 5-year winter. They work as a dishwasher, which is a job I did as a teen. I know.
No research required.
Yeah, I know how gross it is and how it can be terrible for your skin, over your hands, and that. So yeah, Ellery is like really displeased with this 5-year winter.
Ellery is not a happy camper or farmer.
No.
Oh boy. So Ellery meets up with Knox. Is that how the story progresses then?
Yeah, so okay. There's a character named Knox, and Knox is a witch's familiar.
Let me stop you right there. What is a witch's familiar?
Well, in my world, the way it works is the witch, her name is Arabelle, went to the crossroads and made a bargain with these other creatures called the Shades. And part of her bargain was that she wanted the ability to have magic and to, as she coins, real power. Mm-hmm. And so the Shades give her Nox as a magical being, as a witch's familiar to help her achieve her goals. Wow. So Nox has been living in an apartment and has been watching a lot of TV because he's bored. So all of his knowledge about, he is an immortal being, but every time he goes back through the crossroads, he loses his memory. So on this trip to Earth, or this realm, the human realm, he has learned everything about humans through teen supernatural dramas.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Like Buffy? So,
Yeah, like Buffy and Teen Wolf and Vampire Diaries
Wow.
and those kinds of
All
shows.
right, all right.
So he is a patron of the diner.
Okay.
And then when the Shades come to collect on Arabelle's bargain,
Yeah.
Nox decides he doesn't want to go home. And
Oh.
so he makes a run for it.
Okay. Wow. Wow. That sounds really interesting and fun and exciting. How did you come up with this idea?
there was a lot of, well, for this particular book, because each of my books is different, but for this particular book, I started with the idea of wanting to write a dynamic between a skeptic, a human skeptic who doesn't believe in anything supernatural, and an actual supernatural being.
Okay.
And I that's where I started. That's where the ideas, started to kind of percolate, was wanting to write that dynamic. And then from there, it was figuring out what kind of paranormal being Nox was going to be, and how did it fit into this world, and why would this character, other character, be a skeptic? What has happened in their past to where they don't believe in stuff anymore? And so yeah, it was taking that dynamic of those two characters, and then thinking about the characterization, and then from there building the world out. So knowing that Nox was going to be a familiar, he was going to come from this crossroads bargain. Well, then who is his goddess? And then coming up with the goddess, and then thinking, well, if there's one goddess, they have to be other gods and goddesses, and then fleshing that out. So that's really where it started,
Wow. That's awesome. That's amazing. So, you use the term cozy fantasy. I'm not familiar with that. What does that mean?
So there's this, I guess it's not really a genre, but people like to call my books cozy fantasies, and there's been some that have come out in the past couple of years, like Legends and Lattes and a couple others. And really, to me, what cozy fantasy means is that the stakes in the book are very personal stakes, and that they're not like these huge fantasy worlds with epic battles and all these, things that you would think about like in a fantasy novel, that they're more about personal relationships and personal stakes, and kind of the small stories that happen in fantasy worlds,
Ah,
if
got
that
it.
makes sense.
Yep, I totally get that. Totally understand that. That makes really good sense. Thank you. That was a great explanation.
Oh, well, good.
Are you working on anything right now? Do you have any is this going to be like a standalone novel? Have you thought about doing a sequel? Or are you just thinking about something altogether different?
So, what I can talk about is
Okay, all right. Don't give anything good
otherworldly.
away.
Yes. So Otherworldly is a standalone, just like In Deeper Waters, So This Is Ever After, Spellbound, and now Otherworldly. They're all standalones.
Okay.
So there's not going to be a sequel. It's not one of a trilogy, anything like that. This is one and
Okay.
done. After this, I've written another contemporary fantasy. And that'll be the next book in 2025,
Okay.
right? Yeah,
Yeah.
2025 will be another contemporary fantasy. And then my hope is to turn back to like either fairy tale or, high fantasy, dragons and castles and that kind of stuff. Because
Okay.
I've written some contemporary, I've written three contemporary fantasies in a row. And I would like to kind of get back to writing another fantasy with maybe dragons in it or something else.
All right. So you mentioned the book Legends and Latte, and that's like a high fantasy, low stakes. Which kind of means there's like not a lot of angst, not a lot of, I guess what you were talking about, a lot of fighting, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I like that. That's great. I think probably a lot of readers would like the focus on the relationships rather than fighting the relationships. So last year you had a novel come out too, right?
Yes, I've had a novel come out once a year since I think 2016,
Okay.
something like that. But yeah, I had Spellbound came out last year.
Wow, so you've been busy.
I try.
Do you generally like, is that how long it takes you to write a novel is like a year and then for it to go to the publisher and go out on the market then?
So, it has been that I've been writing one a year. I've written some manuscripts that haven't gone anywhere. So there's been some years that I've written two or three, and they've just not, some of the things have not panned out. So, but it for the first 8 years of my career, I worked a full-time job as
Okay.
well as
Yeah.
writing.
Yeah.
And really, writing was just being squeezed in the moments when I could. And then I had big plans for 2023 of I was going to leave my job in 2023, the same job I had for 8 years. I put in my notice and was going to just focus on writing from January 2023 on. But I put in my notice and then to put did my month or 3 weeks notice is what I gave, left, and then my mother passed away.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry.
So I have been, so 2023 has been was then me dealing with everything that came because my dad passed away in 2019, and so then my mother passed away in 2023. So
So sorry.
my whole year became writing, but also taking care of an estate and paying bills that weren't mine, and doing all the things that come with being the administrator of an estate. So it was 2023 was kind of a wash. I managed to get a book done.
That's amazing. That really is amazing. Really, kudos to you.
Thank you. So I'm hoping 2024 has not started out well, but I'm hoping that at some point I will be able to get into a groove of where I can write more than one book a year.
Okay. All right. That's hard. That's really hard, when you are faced with losses back to back to, kind of just put all that behind you and move on. It's not easy, but you can work that into a book.
Oh, the themes of grief come up in all of my books.
Okay.
Not, I'm not, that's not true. Not in all of them, but Spellbound, one of the central themes was grief.
Oh.
In Otherworldly, Ellery has left their family, and had to make some hard decisions, regarding their family, and has to, at 17, kind of do their coming of age or their growth or however anyone wants to term it. But they do it, on their own with the help of their cousin, and their cousin's girlfriend, but without kind of the parental figures and the parental guidance because they've chosen not to have that. So yeah, so that stuff shows
Yeah,
up a lot.
that's good. That's a great way to work through it, really. It absolutely is. So, would you like to give a shout out to your publisher?
Oh yes, Simon and Schuster, McElderry Imprint, is who has allowed me to write my cozy fantasies, and has also, Otherworldly is a little bit of a weird book. It's a little different than my others, and I know that's a great privilege to be able to write a weird book and have it published.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good for them. Good for them for, going with you and it must be good. Really.
Yeah, it's a great relationship. My editor, Kate Proswimmer, we have done we're working on a fifth book together, and I I love her, and she gets me, and has great insight, and just makes my novels better. And then I have a cover artist that has been with me for these four books up to Otherworld Late, Sam Schechter, and they are just amazing and have just done incredible art for my cover. So I can't say enough about them.
Oh, that's so cool when you find a team that you all really work well together. That's wonderful. That's great. So let me ask you, have you always written, I guess, I don't know if I should call it speculative fiction or cozy fantasy, contemporary fantasy, or have you thought about like writing, stepping out, like in writing in other genres? And if you have, what would that be?
So I've always written in the fantasy sci-fi space, because that's really where I grew up in, like, nerd culture. I have an older brother who is, he's the oldest of us. I'm the youngest of us. So there's 13 years between us.
Okay. How many of us are there?
Four.
Okay.
But he always had like Dungeons and Dragons books stuffed under his bed, and, had fantasy novels kind of laying around. And when he moved away, and for my birthdays, he would always send me books. And they were always fantasy books. Mm-hmm. And when I was 13, he sent me The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, great.
And then from there on, it was just sci-fi and fantasy for me.
Awesome. That's wonderful.
And I have a friend, Julian Winters, who is an amazing contemporary writer. He writes queer contemporary rom-coms, coming-of-age books, and they're really great. And I was having a conversation with him, and I was like, I would love to write just a rom-com, a contemporary rom-com, but I just, my writing style, I have to have, like, a spaceship or a sword fight or something like that. Uh-huh. And Julian was like, why don't you just write a rom-com in a fantasy setting, write it in a castle? And that was the inspiration for So This Is Ever After.
Oh, wow. How about that? That's great. It's called Citizens Ever After?
No, So This Is Ever After.
Oh, So This Is Ever After. Oh, okay. And that came out in 2022.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. So that's kind of like a rom-com that is in a castle.
Yeah, I call it my bottle episode book because it takes place all in a castle from beginning to end. Wow. So all the characters run around in this castle and courtyard, and they don't go outside of it. So it's like a bottle episode of a TV show.
Yeah, that's great. Really? So what, out of all the books that you've written, what would you say was your favorite book to write?
My favorite, I really enjoyed writing Otherworldly, because I got to write some things, that I had been wanting to write. And address some themes that I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But I think for the most, like, just fun in writing, it was So This Is Ever After, because that is it's like a Dungeons and Dragons party, a D&D party, that have finished the campaign and now they have to figure out how to run a kingdom. Oh. And so it's all these different personalities, trying to mesh together to successfully run a kingdom and not die. So it was just really fun to write that. And, it ended up being really long and have like all this different stuff happening in it. And my editor really had to condense it.
Oh, wow. I've heard many people say that, like, that they have written these really long books. Some have like cut out a lot of it, and then some have kind of divided it up into a couple books. So your editor was busy at work on that one, huh?
Yeah, she's probably not pleased with me right now, because she sent me edits back on the book we're working on that will be my 2025 release. And Sent it back to me. I worked on the edits and I sent it back and it was 15,000 words longer.
Yeah. I can see why she might not be happy.
Oops, sorry.
I hope she has a sense of humor though.
Oh, she does.
That's awesome. So like in general, where do all of your ideas come from? Like where, you know, like these are unusual settings and unusual tropes, if you will, right? So where do all these come from?
It's a combination of different things. You know, just the conversation with Julian is what sparked off the idea for So This Is Ever After. And then, you know, for Otherworldly, it was just the desire to kind of write these two different personalities. And then from there, I built out the world and I relied on some Greek myth and some, Shakespearean Christopher Marlowe things.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
So yeah, it's just, you know, things, inspiration is everywhere. Spellbound, the inspiration for that actually came from a conversation I was having with my brother while I was driving back from Atlanta. I had just been at Dragon Con, which is the big science fiction and fantasy convention down there that goes over Labor Day weekend. And I was exhausted and driving back to North Carolina from Atlanta. And I was on the phone with my brother, and we just started talking about a magic system that is acts like Wi-Fi. And that's where the world building started for Spellbound.
Wow.
So inspiration just kind of comes from everywhere.
So, do all of your siblings like fantasy and, you know, Dungeons and Dragons, or is it just you and your oldest brother?
Me and my brother, my two sisters, they don't care.
Do they like kind of walk away from you guys when you're all together and you and your brother start talking about all this stuff?
Well, we are all very silly. I will say that.
Okay.
We all have really great senses of humor. However, my brothers and mine are a little more quick and a little. My one sister, though, she can be really mean, but she's really funny. And you know, really, the last time the four of us were together was my mom's funeral. And this may sound awful, but she raised me. She knew exactly who I am. We were sitting outside, and doing the outside part of the service. And when we were in these chairs, and it was kind of like, it was really cold. It was very beginning of February. And they had us, the four of us, in these chairs, and they had my mamaw on one side, and then me and my siblings. And we started like moving around because it was kind of uncomfortable, and the chairs started squeaking. And my brother just kind of mumbled something like, "Oh no." And then I started giggling.
Oh
And then my one sister started giggling. And on the end, my mamaw is just like sobbing. And I'm
no.
laugh I'm just like trying not to laugh. And my
Oh
brother is just encouraging me.
no. Yeah. Of course.
And my one sister is getting mad at us, and my other sister's laughing. And it was just it I mean, it was just for a few minutes.
Yeah.
But as I'm giggling and thinking about it, I was like, my mom would not be mad because she knows that if you put me and my brother Rob together, we're just going to cut up
Yeah.
and we're going to make each other laugh, and we're going to draw our one sister in too. And that's the way it's going to be.
Yeah, I'm sure, right? She knows all of you very well. And did your meemaw say anything to you later?
No.
No.
No, Mamaw,
Mamaw.
it was cold and everything. And Mamaw's in her 90s, so she stayed for the service, and then they bundled her up and took her home.
Oh, good
And
for her.
yeah, I'm actually leaving to actually tomorrow morning at like 4 a.m. I'm leaving to drive up there to go do some things in Virginia, and gonna pop by and see Mamaw.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. So, this is a kind of a weird question, but if you could live in any time, what era would you like to live in?
If you had asked me this question a little while ago, I would have said the future.
Uh-huh.
But I don't want to go to the future.
No?
No. I'm kind of good where I am. And I've kind of reached that stage where, like, I'm comfortable with all the technology, but any technology that comes out beyond this, I'm probably not going to learn. So
you've already set your mind to that, huh?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. One of the times in history that I'm really interested in, mm-hmm. is the Old West.
Uh-huh.
I love Westerns.
Cool.
And I love, I love watching Westerns and, you know, looking up like historical figures from, the Old West. Mm-hmm. However, I would never live there in that time period, 'cause I know it was awful.
Yeah. You know, I often think about like, that would be my time period too. But then I'm like, you know, I can't imagine. Like, I always have to get up in the middle of the night and go to the bathroom. Like, what do you do? Like, they had outhouses. Like, that would not be fun. And what would you encounter out there, you know?
Yeah, and thinking about just, like, disease and just conditions and how difficult it was to make a living. And just all of that runs through my head, and I'm like, no, I'm good.
All right. I hear you. Yes, definitely. You know, I'll take my indoor plumbing any day.
Exactly. Yeah. Indoor plumbing and internet. I'm set.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, you have books that have been nominated for awards. You've won awards. Tell us what awards that you've actually won and been nominated for.
So Spellbound, so This Is Ever After and In Deeper Waters made it all onto the ALA's Rainbow Book List.
Nice.
Which is a really great honor.
Yeah. That is. That's wonderful.
And some of my older titles, the Rules series, won some awards, and were nominated for others. I don't remember exactly which ones.
Mm-hmm.
I got two trophies. They're somewhere in here.
Really?
the biggest achievements for, my recent books have been making that Rainbow Book List, which is great. And that's enough for me.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That really is. There's like so many, I think, like LGBTQ+ awards, like literary awards and books and authors out there that people don't even know about, you know? It's just amazing to me that, you know, I've met so many, but like new names just keep popping up all the time. So it's wonderful. It really is. It's great.
I think that's amazing. Especially in the YA space. There's been a real expansion of not just LGBTQ contemporary novels, not just coming out stories, which are important, and there's room on the shelves for those stories, but also allowing like queer fantasy, queer horror, you know, just kind of this expansion of queer stories. Mm-hmm. And it's been really great to see. And like you said, there's new names popping up all the time. And it's so great.
It really is. It's wonderful. You know, it's just like, I think, and especially when you're writing like young adult fiction, I don't think young adults really care if it's queer or maybe they just expect, you know, queer characters in books, you know, whether it's like a mainstream or not, you know, because that's just how life is. And I think they just kind of roll with it. So I don't think they're fazed by anything. But that's awesome. I just want to ask you, so you write in like the fantasy world, and what is it about fantasy and the fantasy world that just draws you in? What, you know, how did you just kind of attach to this? I know you said that you, you know, grew up like with Dungeons and Dragons and, but did you read it? Did you like, were you just kind of engulfed in it?
Yeah, it was, you know, it was the first movies I ever watched were like Return of the Jedi and the Ewok movie and Willow and, The Dark Crystal, like all of these, you know, classic fantasy movies. And, you know, I loved Star Wars growing up. And, like I said, my brother would send me books. So I've read Douglas Adams and Robert Jordan, and, I've read Tolkien, and I've read, you know, all of the fantasy novels. And then when he would come home to visit, we would watch Star Trek together. And he would introduce me to all these different things. And then when I went to college, I joined the science fiction and fantasy club, which we called Skiffy, and was immersed and learned even more there and watched movies I'd never seen before, or, you know, got to watch series, TV shows and books that I had never, you know, had not come across. So, and then from there, it's just, it's always been something that I've been drawn to. And I think it's just kind of like the magic of it, of that escapism of, being in a different world, or living in a 5-year winter, or, encountering a dragon, or, you know, someone able to do magic. All of that is just, you know, fun to read about. It's fun.
Yeah. You know, that makes sense to me. It's really not a lot different than someone who reads romantic comedies and watches romantic comedy movies, you know, because it is like a form of escapism, right? And they're fun. And, you know, so it's just kind of on par with that, really.
Yeah, and it's, you know, there's a lot to do in the fantasy space, and then the sci-fi space, because you're not limited.
Yeah,
and you can come up with stuff too, where if it doesn't work, if something's not working in your world, you can fix your world.
True, very true.
So, I mean, it's like I said, it's just fun to come up with new things.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. You know, you mentioned the movie Willow, and I guess I never really thought about Willow as being like a sci-fi movie or fantasy movie. And a lot of people don't know that movie, which is surprising to me.
That is awful. I love that movie. That movie was one of the ones that I watched all the time. And I mean, Val Kilmer's in that movie.
Yeah.
Warwick Davis is in that movie. Yeah. I love that. I love that one. There's like this kind of set of 80s fantasy and sci-fi films, and Willow is part of it, but like E.T. and Gremlins.
Oh yeah.
And that all kind of came out, like, of course, Star Wars trilogy was finishing up in 1980. And then there's all these, like, this kind of the Jim Henson movies, Labyrinth.
Yeah.
That kind of all came out right around each other.
Yeah, you're right.
When I was smaller.
Yeah.
I forgot about all those. Were the things.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were the things I was watching and loved. I wore out people are going to not know what this is, but I wore out that Willow VHS tape.
Yeah. I totally know what that is, because I worked in a video store. You know, it was prior to Blockbuster even, when we had the little mom and pop video stores. And I totally remember all those movies coming out.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. So those are the things. And then when I was a teenager, Magic the Gathering was really big.
Oh, yeah.
So I played Magic the Gathering. Spent all of my money that I earned from chores and cutting grass on Magic the Gathering cards. And then, you know, and played video games too. A lot of video games were fantasy based.
Yeah.
Like Zelda.
Oh, yeah.
There was a bunch of them that came out too that are, you know, I mean, like Mario is a plumber and he jumps down pipes to save a princess in a mushroom kingdom. That's, I mean, true. Like, that's fantasy.
That sure is. Yep. Have you ever played Frog Juice?
No.
Oh, you have to check that out. Yeah. That's it's just a little deck of cards. But it is total fantasy and total fun.
Oh, fun. My family play Munchkin.
I'm not
a lot, which is Munchkin is kind of like a questing game. It's like a riff off D&D, but it's cards. Mm-hmm. And like in your turn, your first turn is to kick open the door, and then like you loot the room or fight the monster with your cards. So that one's fun. But we also play, and this is not a fantasy game, but we also play Taco Cat a lot.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yep, we have that.
And I was playing that with two of my nieces, yes. About a year ago, and we were playing and our hands were so sore afterwards.
That is, and for you listeners out there, if you've not played Taco Cat, you should check it out. It's fun. It's definitely
Taco
fun.
Taco Cat and Exploding Kittens is really fun too.
Yeah. I think I played that one time, you know, but not in a long time. And I can't think of this other game while we're talking about games that we got maybe during the pandemic, and I can't remember the name of it, but it comes with
I can't remember the name. I know exactly what you're talking about. They go around and fix stuff.
Yeah.
Was it Alone? No, what is it called?
I can't think of it, but as soon as we hang up, we'll remember.
Exactly. But yes, over the pandemic, people were really into that. And for gaming right now, I used to play a lot of World of Warcraft too.
Oh yeah.
But World of Warcraft is a time vampire, and I found myself neglecting things to like log in and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had to, my spouse and I, we made a deal where like, we have got to stop. And we deleted our accounts together.
Aww.
Because it was bad.
That's true love.
Yes. So now my biggest gaming is Tetris.
Okay. You know, it's funny, FT, you get so animated when you're talking about this. Like it's obvious that you love it. Which is wonderful. And, you know, I can't wait to read Otherworldly, because I'm sure that totally comes through in your writing.
I get excited when I get a chance to talk about those types of things.
That's so
cool. My family has heard it all.
Yeah, well, that's awesome, though. I love it. So, I think that is actually about all the time we have for today. But I'm wondering, do you have any parting words for our listeners?
I would just say, I have to do the pitch. Otherworldly is coming out April 2nd. You can get signed copies via a pre-order at Malaprop's bookstore in Asheville. But they have a link and it's on my Instagram, which is at FT Lukens. And you can go to Malaprops and buy a copy of Otherworldly, and you can put in there what you would like me to say, and I will personalize and sign a copy, and then Malaprops will send it to you. So
that is awesome.
But as for some parting words for any listeners out there, find things that bring you joy.
Yes.
If it happens to be old fantasy movies from the 80s or video games or card games,
no matter,
yeah, find stuff that brings you joy and draw inspiration from it, and it'll make you, you know, both happy and just proud of your work.
Yeah, those are great words, great parting words. I love it. You know, find things that bring you joy. We all need that. We all need more joy.
Yes.
In our lives.
Exactly.
So, super awesome. So, FT Lukens, it has been a pleasure talking with you. And I look forward to Otherworldly, which I will just reiterate is available. You can get a signed copy through Malaprop's bookstore. I wish you much success, I should say, on your next book coming out next year. But it's been a pleasure talking with you. So
well, thank you so much for having me. Thank you for letting me go on my little tangents.
No, not at all. No tangents here. Great conversation. So that's all the time we have for today, folks. I'm Anita Kelly. Thanks for joining Liz Talk About Books, baby. And until next time, may your journey be lighthearted, peace be plenty, and be safe, folks.